This last Wednesday, Wade and I were at a prayer gathering with other pastors here in the city, and we were just praying for our city, and one of the pastors shared this beautiful little passage from Luke 19, and it's the passage where the triumphal entry, and Jesus is coming into the city, and the people are singing his praises, and the Pharisees don't think it's right to worship at this time, and so they basically say to be silent. And Jesus says, if they're silent, the stones will cry out in worship. And then he's right on that road coming down from the Mount of Olives, and he sees the city. And then he breaks down and he weeps. And you have this beautiful coming together as this pastor led us in worship and weeping. And that's what we do. We don't stop worshiping. We do feel with our city. We have that deep compassion and empathy, and we weep, but we also trust in the middle of that. So let's continue, and as we were worshiping today, just to continue to lift up our worship, because who we are in Jesus Christ is very countercultural. His ways are not our ways, but when our ways are aligned with him, then it's very different from our culture. And we're going to be looking at that today with this word, generosity, and the word being generous in spirit. What does it mean if we all embody a spirit of generosity during this time? So let's just take a moment, start with prayer. Give this message to God and ask God that you yourself would speak a word into our hearts. We come longing to hear from you, God. And so as we do, God, speak. And may we not only hear, but may we do, may we be your way in this city during this time especially. So come, Holy Spirit, speak the word that each one of us needs to hear. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, I woke up to this message from Matthew 6:22. First of all, just the colors woke me up, right? Because they're just bright. I'm not a morning person, but here it was. Matthew 6:22, with generous eyes, you will be filled with light, and your eyes are the illumination of your body. This was sent by Yo Young. And as soon as I got it, I was encouraged. And, you know, I've spoken about how these little devotionals are energy bars, and I was energized by it because I begin to think, what would it look like if I saw the world through generous eyes? What if everything that I did in a day was seen through the lens of generosity? Now, this passage, it's a different translation because oftentimes we read it, with healthy eyes you will be filled with light. But this word generous is the same word that we're going to look at today in another passage. It's the same Greek word. And this is right before Jesus began to talk about generous living. So here's my question. What would it look like for you to see everything through generous eyes, through the spirit of generosity, especially during these days? That generous spirit, what would that look like? What would it look like for us as a church to encourage and to be filled with this generosity? When Marion and I were just becoming married, then I remember having a conversation with her father, and he and I were walking, and he said, "My daughter is a very generous person." And in my mind, I was thinking, "This is going to be a problem because we don't have any money." So, but you know, he wasn't talking about just money, and Jesus isn't either. He's talking about a way of living. Are we generous? Would someone that knows you really well call you a generous person? Would they call me a generous person? This is what we're asking today as kind of we look at this. So at Community Church, we talk about a spirit, a journey of generosity. Like we're on this journey of being generous, not just generous financially or with our resources, our time, but generous in our encouragement, generous in our way of building each other up. And there's a map for this journey of generosity. So what I thought I'd do is I'll just sketch out this map. It actually comes to us from the text we're looking at If you want to draw it on your bulletin, you can do that. But basically, all of generosity starts with God. That's where the journey begins. And then it comes down to us. But it doesn't come to us. It actually comes through us to others. And that's a key difference. Because we're not reservoirs, right? We're rivers. We are rivers. It should be flowing through us. And it does flow through us to others. And then here's what happens. And then others give thanks to God for that generosity. And that's a very simple map that God is giving to us through us in generosity. And that results in thanksgiving to God. It's just a very simple journey that we're on. But it doesn't just continue in a loop. It's a spiraling upwards. That's the shape of our Christian journey. We're spiraling upwards, ever getting a little closer to what God would have for us. So if you wanted to look at your bulletin here, you'll see the three verses we're going to look at today. The top of each one is a little line. There's a little bit of a title maybe for each one that corresponds to basically this map. And this is what we're going to look at. We're entering in the Thanksgiving season. So normally we would have Thanksgiving sharing next week. But next week we have a special guest speaker. So we're going to have a Thanksgiving sharing open mic time in this service. And so basically I'm going to be talking about the leg one in the journey and then phase two and then we'll give it over to you guys to talk about what does it mean to give thanks to God and just to share our thanksgiving to God. But the first part of the journey here is in verse 10. And if you want to just put in that line, that is basically from God, right? That's the message. And so Paul is talking about generosity through chapter 8 and chapter 9. And he says this. He says, God, it is he who supplies seed to the sower, bread for food, will supply and multiply your seed, seed for sowing, and increase the harvest of your righteousness. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increasing the harvest of righteousness. And we've talked about what is a harvest of righteousness? It's a harvest of right relationships, right? Right relationships with God. Right relationships with your spouse, right relationship with your kids, right relationship with your colleagues. That's the harvest. And it's God who supplies. And our God is this amazingly generous God. So if we have any hope of generosity, we need to first look to God. Because God didn't just provide, this is just enough for you. God lavished upon us. I was reading this last week, and there are apparently 750,000 species of insects that God provided. You may not like insects. So there's 400,000 species of flowers that he's provided us. There's 200,000 species of edible plants. We all can be vegetarian. 10,000 species of birds and stars that are innumerable to count. Who is our God? At the men's retreat, we were talking about trusting, and we were doing kind of at one point talking about the trust fall. Who are you going to fall back on? And this is a God who lavishes. You know what the opposite of generosity is? It's greed. Generosity is giving you more than you need. That's Thanksgiving table, abundance. Greed is taking more than you need. And greed will break down organizations and a city. But generosity builds because we don't worship a God of scarcity. And especially during these times, we need to remember that. Because in hard times, the tendency is to hold for our own. And then yet what we've seen throughout this time is some beautiful examples of just people helping one another. There's been more prayer during this time in our city. And there's also been more acknowledgement that how can I help my neighbor and how can I come alongside my neighbor? I see that just beginning more and more. And we want to blow life into this because that is basically our God. So what would it look like if through us, we had that Spirit. And that's the next passage here. So if it's from God, then the next title is through us to others. And that's verse 11. So through us to others. It says, you will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way. You might want to circle both those every ways, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. Okay, that's going on to this last part, this thanksgiving to God. I'll say it again. We are rivers. We are not reservoirs, right? Heard that phrase from a speaker a couple of weeks ago, and he said, when you listen, you should listen like a river and not like a reservoir, right? Because sometimes we can do that. We come in and say, top me up, right? Fill my reservoir, as opposed to saying, flow through me all the teaching. That's a beautiful way to listen, but it's actually a beautiful way to live. That everything we've been given from this amazingly generous God was given to you, entrusted to you, to then flow through for others. More for your needs and also for the needs of others. So it's flowing through. And this is with all of the things that God gives us. And we're co-laborers. And in a little bit, we're going to eat this bread. And it talks about here that he gives bread and seed. And bread is a beautiful symbol of co-laboring with God, right? Because he gives us the raw ingredients, but someone's got to make it. And then it's made together, and then we become co-laborers with God. The money, the finances that he has given us, he's given to us as seed. So what can we make of that to feed others? Now, this word generosity is a very countercultural word, and it always has been. The word comes actually from the Roman and Greek times when this word was written by Paul. And in the Greek, you can hear the word generation, right, in generosity. You can hear this word genus, where we came from. And so the current or the thinking at that time of Paul was that if you were rich or wealthy or well-to-do, you were in the Roman Senate or whatever, then the expectation is that you would be generous with everything because, hey, you were blessed, and so you should be generous, right? But that's not how Jesus saw it. Jesus saw it with all of us, and that's not how his disciples saw it. So Peter, Paul, James, John, all of them begin to teach this way of living that actually said it doesn't matter how much money we have, we still have this generosity. So the chapter before this, Paul is talking about the church of Macedonia, and he lifts them up for generosity. And he says, in the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty, they welled up in rich generosity. It doesn't matter how much we have. In fact, we can only give with what we have. But we can be generous in that. And that's very, very countercultural, right? How we handle our money is very countercultural. So I'm going to invite a friend to come up. So Steve Nutland, let's welcome Steve. If you want to give Steve a mic, that'll be good. So welcome, Steve. Some of you know Steve, some of you may not know Steve, but Steve is part of our church. And we were talking at one point, I think in one of the core classes, and we were talking about generosity and that spirit of generosity. And you mentioned that you had heard something from your father-in-law that kind of stood out at you.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. We've been coming to the church for a couple of years, but had always managed to miss the second core class. So we were catching up and finishing the second core class, and Roger was talking. And something Roger had said had really resonated with me, and I was thinking back to when I was not a Christian, when I was first dating my wife, which was 30 years ago now, and my father-in-law talking to me about lots of aspects of Christianity, but also tithing. And I remember sitting there and nodding sagely and inside my head thinking, you're nuts. That's huge. I mean, I could not envisage in any way giving 10% of what I earned to the church or to ministries. And it was something that I was really challenged with. I was not a Christian at the time, as I said, and a few years afterwards, I became a Christian. And I started to give, but not, I wouldn't say begrudgingly, but I was never maybe joyously giving in the sense that I think we're intended to. And it was a few years after that, then I'd had another church sermon where, and speaking about money, I know is a very challenging job for any minister, but this sermon really, again, hit me. And it was talking about, you know, God, he doesn't really need our money. I mean, he has everything. We need to give, and it's something that we need to do for ourselves as much as anything. Or this is what I heard, that if we're going to give, we should give joyously, and we should give plentifully, and we should almost, if you're going to give begrudgingly, don't give at all. So yeah, that was something on top of what I heard from my father-in-law that has really stuck with us. That it's you know, when we give, we're going to give because it's something that we're meant to do, but it's for our benefit. We joyously benefit from that, and yeah.
And now you're through your family, you're also helping missions and Cambodia, not only here in the church, but missions throughout Cambodia and other places.
Yeah, I mean, it's, as you said, it's obviously not about the money, it's the time and it's the effort and it's all of the other talents that go into it. Yeah, we've become involved in a number of missions, some that everybody would know about, some one particular that takes a lot of our time and some of our money in Cambodia, which is it's a church organization, really, but it's for widows and orphans primarily. And so, yeah, it's something that has been a great joy to us to be involved with, to see actually how people who don't have very much can almost be more joyous than I sometimes feel when we have so much in material terms. So yes, it's been a fantastic blessing for us.
Excellent. Thank you. So welcome, or thank you, Stephen, for doing that. It is hard talking about money, and we all know it's challenging talking about money. So I wanted you to hear just a little snippet of Steve and Cheryl's story. We've heard Roger's story. Roger wrote a book on basically his story, a couple of books on his story, and he's been sharing his story, and partly to stimulate all of us just to share. You know, when we put light on how the struggle is with how we're sharing, then we learn from each other. And those are two beautiful lessons. One, it is crazy. If you just look at it from a financial perspective, it's like, what? That doesn't seem to make sense, right? But it's countercultural how we do that. But also, we do it in joy. Earlier in chapter 8, he said, God loves a cheerful giver. If it's not joyful, as he was like, just don't do it. God doesn't need our money, right? But it's a blessing to flow through. And here's what I love. Remember in that verse 10, it says, he raises up a harvest of righteousness. And I love how God takes pretty secular seeds, i.e. money, and then he takes them, and then through your generosity, he creates this harvest of right relationships, right? All around the world. That's a beautiful plan that we get to be a part of. And then what happens is that when it comes through us, then to others, then we have this thanksgiving to God. But again, not just about money. It's about seeing. What does it mean to see through generous eyes, right? To see through generous eyes of encouragement. Wade was sharing with me Friday, I think it was, just that where they live, the area with Kennedy Town, with all that's going on in the city, then there's just some confusion with even how to get to the MTR on one path because of all the obstacles and whatever. And someone had put in a handwritten note, this way to Kennedy MTR, right? They didn't have to do that, but they were just generous. And they said, someone else is going to have a hard time too, so I'm going to leave it there. And I've seen pictures of some of you clearing things and helping, and that spirit of generosity flows through. As a church, our heart is to increase our spirit of hospitality, because that's generosity too, where we want to be welcoming to everyone. Paul says, in every way, and we can say here, hospitality to everyone, regardless of your political persuasion, regardless of your sexual identity, regardless of where you are in the socioeconomic ladder, regardless of your national, your ethnic makeup, regardless of where your even theology lies, we want to welcome everyone. And that's hospitality. The Benedictines used to tell us that welcome everyone as you would welcome Christ. That's generosity. And when we can do that together, here's a beautiful thing that happens. It flows through us to others, and then it results in thanksgiving. So that's what we're going to do now. And I think I took a little too long on my part, but I want to give you a time to really kind of lift up some of your thanksgiving, because this last verse, it says here, and this last one is, from through us to others, and then thanksgiving to God, if you're filling in that last line. Then in verse 12, it says this, for the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, not only supplies air conditioning, lights, all the things that we need as saints, but it's also overflowing in many thanksgiving to God. And that's a beautiful, result, a harvest of thanksgiving. So that's what we want to do. So we've got a couple of mics here. So Brenda has a mic. I have a mic. And what we want to do is we want to just enter into some of this thanksgiving to God. Talk about countercultural. You might not think this is a time to be thanksgiving, but thanksgiving is a choice. One of the, probably should just stay up here. Sorry, but getting my exercise today. There's a quote that I came across from Henry Nouwen a few weeks ago, and it was helpful for me. It's about gratitude. Again, this leg is gratitude. If this is grace and giving, that's gratitude. And it says, gratitude is a discipline, and it involves a conscious choice. I can choose to be grateful even when my emotions and my feelings are steeped in hurt and resentment. It is amazing how many occasions present themselves in which I can choose gratitude over complaining. It's a choice, right? And it's a beautiful choice. And then as we give our thanks, then we encourage one another. As we have courage, then we can continue in our generosity in hard times. So here's what we're going to do. If it's okay with you, I want to involve you in the sermon now and have a time of thanksgiving. What we like to do with this time of thanksgiving is to, you know, go back as far as you want to in a year to give thanks. But particularly right now, there may be instances of people who've been generous to you. There may be prayer times. There may be something right here in the midst that you can choose to give thanks to God. So we want to just bring you a mic. You can share that thanksgiving, however big, however small. Could be about the situation right now. Could be not about that situation. It could be some other part in your life with a family or something you're celebrating. You know, I've had people tell me, I'm not sure I even want to celebrate during this time, like a birth even. It's like, no, celebrate. That's who we are. We are people of thanksgiving, and so we need to do that and to have that worship and weeping simultaneously going together. Did you kind of see how it worked and how at the beginning it's like, what? This is crazy. We can't give thanks during this time. And we're not even sure we want to talk. But then as we began to talk, we were able to give thanks. And with almost, I think, everyone that I saw giving thanks, there was a little bit of a smile because joy comes with thanksgiving. That's part of the traveling companion of thanksgiving is joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. So we strengthen one another. But we have to be a little bit bold. We have to be willing to kind of step out into this. But let's continue to give thanks. We go back to God in this. So I want to close with the prayer. Back in chapter 8, basically Paul said this about the church of Macedonia. He's lifting them up. And I would love if, you know, like the church, the community church was lifted up as this model of generosity in all ways, in every way. And he's lifting them up and he says, they surprised me. Because they gave themselves first to God and then to us. And that's a beautiful thing, right? We cannot do this without giving ourselves fully to God. One of the words that came out of the men's retreat is surrender. We need to surrender fully. And when we surrender the situation, our lives, fully to God, then He will give us the power. Amen? So let's do that now, and then we'll have a family meal together. Wade will lead us. What I'd like us to do is to go back to the generous eyes and then just share a simple prayer that came up in me when I first heard the verse in that way was to say, God, give me generous eyes. And so maybe you want to pray that. Just, God, give me generous eyes. And then, because we're river people, pray for the person next to you and around you that they would have generous eyes. And then pray for us as a church. May we be the spirit of generosity. And I'm mixing metaphors terribly here, but Paul did too. So let's be bridge people, even as Sylvia was talking. What would it look like for you to go to the middle of whatever bridge you have the opportunity to be on? What would it look like for you to pray for generous eyes and thanksgiving from the middle of that bridge? Just pray. Jesus, we thank you. It's only through you that we can live this. So, Holy Spirit, empower us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.